Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
A minute and a half to go. Virginia by three. Defending outright regular season champs. A lot of basketball left, but they need a win tonight. If they go to three losses, two behind Duke, not good. Guy bumped, and he made the shot. A chance for four.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Chris Paul gets free, gives it up to James. James fires up a three. There it is! 31 points for James Harden. His 30th game in a row.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Well, it's easy to underappreciate the career of Will Chamberlain.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Tuesday. That is a choker. That's a choker.
And she's wearing a choker.
That's a choker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird look.
If you're, yeah, you have no idea what we're talking about, so this is not great radio. Susie Colbert.
Is it Colbert?
Colbert.
Colbert. No T.
No T?
Thank you.
Really?
Suck on that one. You're already 0 for 1 today.
Really? I always thought there was a T.
If this was a debate show, I'd be like, I'm already winning.
I want to look this up now. I want to verify. Was that an Oracle moment?
Susie
no. K-O-L-B-E-R.
I thought it was K-U.
No.
Colbert.
Yeah, you're right. You are right. K-O-L-B-E-R.
Yeah.
Susie with a Z, too.
Yeah, she's a Susie Z.
Susie Z.
Susie Z is up here on this NFL show, and she's rocking a necklace, and I wasn't looking. I'm getting ready for the show, and Dirk goes, I've never really understood why they wear that. And I was like, what are you talking about?
She's rocking
like,
a choker.
I think she's wearing the choker. And finally, they got this dumb tweet off the screen. She pops up. The show starts, and I'm like, yeah, confirmed. Susie Colbert rocks the choker.
Unfortunately, Adam Schefter not wearing a choker too along with it, because that'd be a unique look for old Adam Schefter.
Schefter looks like he hasn't shaved in 4 days.
Yeah, he's been busy. He's got to follow all these sources and trade demands and stuff.
I'll give you a hot take.
Okay.
Scorching hot take to kick the show off here. I wouldn't want Adam Schefter's life ever.
No, he seems miserable.
Now, he seems like he's a proud dad. Remember, he had his kid do the sideline stuff at the NBA game. That was a cool moment. I'm sure he's probably a good parent.
Now, doesn't he have a crazy marriage story, too? I feel like his wife
was married to somebody who died in 9/11.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He
wrote
a book about the guy.
Wow.
Which.
Now, and are the kids his or is he the stepdad? Do we know that?
I think he's got his kids. And
there were kids
combo.
Before. Yeah. I don't know if they've had any of their own.
I remember there being a wild story like that.
I think he has his own. And then I think, yeah, he married in and now obviously a father of those kids. But I was thinking about this last night because Woj was tweeting. Like, when doesn't Woj tweet? And I'm not sure I'm in. Like, I know that bank account's great. Woj probably makes $2 to $3 million a year. Schefter's probably raking in $4 to $5 million because it's the NFL. You want to be consumed with that news all day, every day?
No, and if you had to pick one career, to me, it's an easy pick. Of the two that you just mentioned, it's Woj.
Oh.
I think it's Woj in a heartbeat. Like, Woj is a power broker in the NBA.
You're right. He does
like
dictate
Adam
a lot
Schefter,
of things.
I don't think is thought of in the same way. And you also look at the two sports.
You think Woj is bigger than Schefter in his sport?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a Schefter bomb? Is there any saying for Schefter, like, breaking news?
But that goes hand in hand with the NBA Twitter.
Half the time, Schefter doesn't even break the news. Like, Jay Glazer beats
say,
him to it.
There's, like, seven NFL guys that break stuff.
But nobody, Schefter's the go-to one, right?
I mean, he's probably
he's
number one.
He's just on ESPN.
Yeah, I don't think he's the...
He's the most viewed, I would say, but I don't... I think
who
often...
Who breaks more news than him? Nobody. You can say Glazer. Glazer's a good one. I like Jay Glazer.
Glazer. Yeah.
Don't give me Ian Rappaport. Don't try to give me Field Yates. So who else we got out there?
No, I mean, I would probably say, yes, he breaks the most news. But does Woj ever get beat?
No.
Yes. Shams beat Woj last summer because Woj couldn't start until a certain time.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. If he's not allowed to report, he has to be silenced by a cone for a while. That
does
not count.
Don't sign dumb contracts.
That does not count.
He had something where he couldn't start at ESPN till like July 8th. So I think he had an entire day he couldn't go, and free agency period started. Shams had every single news drop.
Well, see, I don't care. That to me is different. But let me also ask this question, because I know a lot of listeners do it with Woj. Have you, and maybe it's just the nature of the sport and the city we live in, have you ever turned on like tweet alerts from Adam Schefter?
I've never done it for Woj.
You haven't? I did. I do every deadline because I'm curious to see what's breaking.
No, because I
you find out about everything you need from Woj, and it comes right to your phone if you turn on the alerts.
I'll give you that, but I'm such a stupid nerd that I probably read too many things, and so I have a feel of where things might go. Like, how often are you really surprised by free agency? You're not.
No. It's more trade deadline thing, not free agency.
Trade deadline, that's fair. Yeah. I get that.
Because you don't know what kind of deals are going to go down.
But the NFL doesn't really have that.
No, I think I would take Woj in a heartbeat. I think he is a bigger figure in his sport. I think he's more powerful in his sport. And the NFL doesn't stop. Like, Schefter has a year-round job.
Well, either does the NBA now.
I know, to a certain extent, but the combine's not the same. It's not there's always free agency, and there's trades that go down in the offseason, no doubt about that.
Right.
But Schefter, like, the Super Bowl was 2 weeks ago. He's not going to stop until maybe you get through the draft, and then right after that, you have rookie mini camps. There's going to be stuff coming out. Schefter, it feels like to me, has a more full-time job than Woj does.
Oh, I disagree. I think they work the same. But I see where you're coming from. Now, ultimately, I'm going to vote on Woj as well. I am biased, but here's the thing about Schefter. He may not be the power broker that Woj is in the NBA, but he did have a funny snippet a few weeks back where he said he broke the news that Matt LaFleur was the coach of the Packers to Matt LaFleur.
That was really funny.
Hey, coach, just wanted to text and see how you're feeling about everything, and congratulations. And Matt LaFleur texts back, what are you talking about? And he goes, do you not know that you're the head coach of the Green Bay Packers? And he goes, well, I do now.
Thanks for the heads up.
He didn't know that they had selected him yet. Adam Schefter was the one that says that. So Woj might have a little more power, but there's still a lot of power in having that ability.
Yeah, I'm not saying Schefter has no power in the NFL, and that was a crazy story. I think my favorite Woj story I've ever heard is we had a conversation one time with Ben Golliver when we were at, I think it was the Nike Hoop Summit like 2 years ago, and he was there covering it, and we were doing a live show there, and we got off the air, and we were just standing, the game hadn't started yet, and we were having a conversation with Ben because we hadn't seen him in a while since he moved away. And I think it was you that asked him the question, like, do you have any Woj stories? Like, do you ever run into him? Do you know him that well? Like, what's Woj like when you meet him in person? And he told us a story of him at the NBA draft where he was sitting a couple of seats away from him or something, and Woj was breaking all this news constantly on his phone about the NBA draft. And his phone, like, exploded. He was sending so many tweets and on it so actively that
it overheated.
It overheated. It steamed up. He, without missing a beat, took that phone, dropped it into a recycling bin next to him, pulled another phone out of his bag, powered it on, kept going.
Yeah, like everything was the same. His login, everything was saved on that extra phone.
It was all just ready to go. Boom. He just kept going.
Now, that's a machine. But as the people at the Better You Today text line point out, Mark Stein broke the Porzingis trade.
Once in a blue moon. Blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
Yeah. I just, Woj is bigger, but Schefter's, I think, closer than you would give him credit. Glazer is a really good source. I think Glazer's a good source because, one, he admits who he is and what he is.
Yeah.
He's friends with a lot of the players. He loves to work out with them. Yeah. He's got the gym down there in L.A. I have no problem with somebody admitting their situation while still also reporting big news. Glazer's great.
Schefter still got Mortensen at ESPN.
What does that mean?
Hey, yeah, Mort.
Mortensen's not coming close. Are you really trying to say Mortensen is on the Schefter level?
Well, he was.
I think you are not. I'm kind of surprised by you because you are running the socials for the station, your updates. You're always on the sports scene.
Oftentimes, Schefter's come out after others.
No, I would say 85% of NFL stories, Adam Schefter has broken.
That's a high number.
I know.
It's a big clip.
But I think we're not quite grasping how big a newsbreaker he is.
What about John Clayton? Is he still around?
John Clayton's well sourced.
He's up in Seattle.
But
he's got his own
news show
or podcast or something now.
Him and his skullet. Is he still breaking news?
He writes for the Washington Post.
Oh, look at that.
And he does a show at 7:10 for 2 hours.
Somebody asked at the Better You Today text line, who has the better groupies? Woj or Schefter? Probably Schefter.
Probably Schefter.
Just because the NFL's bigger.
Yeah, but
is Woj married? Do we know anything about his personal life?
I don't think we know.
I don't know.
Thing.
Woj is pretty private. I mean, he just.
You see a ring on the finger? I'm going
to
look it up.
I don't pay attention to his fingers. I don't know.
I remember there was one. I think it was last year. There was some big rumor about the Blazers or something that Woj had. And I inquired to ESPN.
This is creepy.
To see if we could. What?
Not you.
Oh.
This website.
Oh.
Sorry.
So I inquired through ESPN PR channels to see, is there a way? And he basically only just goes on ESPN.
Yeah,
he doesn't really go to local affiliates. He doesn't. I mean, we'll get Schefter from time to time. They'll make it. He'll do the rounds and all that stuff. But
when is this?
Can we get Schefter?
We've never had Adam Schefter on the station since I've been here, and I'll be 7 years in August.
We've had Schefter on the station. Yeah. I got to go back and look. So but yeah, we've had Schefter.
That was a long time ago.
See, Schefter's available. Woj is not available.
Woj
he doesn't
only
deal with the common folk.
Well, Zach Lowe's that way now.
I'm throwing a poll question out on this.
We had Zach Lowe on when we were a night show. I got him to come on it as a night show, and we had him twice. And then I emailed him the next year when basketball season came back around. I said, hey, Zach, had you on a couple times. Loved having you. Loved the work you do. Loved to have you back on. He never responded. And then when I reached out to the ESPN contact, they responded, Zach no longer does local radio stations, blah, 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 blah. I was like, damn, Zach Lowe's that big, huh?
He's that big. He's that big of a big timer. So how do I word this poll question? Who's the bigger deal in their respective sport?
Yeah, but I feel like this is going to be a landslide Woj.
Because that's the right answer.
I don't like that you tallied because Woj has the Woj bomb. That means something like,
come up with a Schefter bomb, and then we'll be in competition here.
I can't do
That's
it.
That's right. Nothing competes with the Woj bomb.
So there's some website called marrieddivorce.com, and I Googled Adrian Wojnarowski, and it has, like, his whole bio on it. It's kind of creepy.
Okay, what's the background?
Okay, he is an American sports columnist for the NBA, big NBA devotee. He's 49 years old.
49.
Raised in Bristol.
Wow.
Home of ESPN. He's of Polish descent. Hey. He went to Bristol High and St. Bonaventures. That's right, because him and
he's a Bonnie.
Who is the
Lenardi.
Coach? No.
Didn't Lenardi go to St. Bonnie too?
Maybe. Who is the assistant coach for the Blazers? Not
Vanderpool?
Vanderpool went to Bonnie. That's why he breaks the Vanderpool news, because
gotcha.
Him and Vanderpool are boys. And he'll put out Vanderpool's name for teams, even though Vanderpool is not even, like, top two candidate. Let's see. Initiated his career by working as a foot model during his college days. Did you know that?
A foot model?
Woj was a college foot model. Yeah, he was a foot model in college.
He's got good-looking feet, huh?
Worked at the Fresno Bee in 95, columnist at the Record in Jersey in 97.
It all started as a foot model.
In 07, he left. I'm trying to see. Low-key married life. Yep. He's married.
Okay.
Detailed. He has not revealed detailed info about his wife and children.
He's keeping them behind the curtain.
So he has a family.
How do you start as a foot model? How does one find that level of work? Do you model like sandals? Like what does a foot model do? Do you put shoes on?
How did George find out his hands were so good looking?
I can't remember that. Yeah, he ends up being a hand model.
I bet it's the same thing.
It's something along those lines.
Look at those feet on the beach.
He's got good looking feet.
We need to take a picture of those feet.
I'll put that in my magazine. Rex Ryan of this must be a big fan.
Okay. So we got a poll question on this one.
I just threw it out there.
And at 1080 the fan.
Seven votes in, it's 100%.
Yeah, I think Woj is gonna run away with this.
He is gonna dominate the dojo with this poll question.
Okay, we got a good show today. Got a lot of football, got some basketball. We're on Twitter at 1080 the fan, at Dirt and Sprague. At Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. Ryan Wilson is a CBS NFL draft expert. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. We've got three stops to make at the Daily Ticker. But we'll start with Paul George. Good God, he's really good at basketball. And a lot of Blazer fans saw that last night. We'll start there. You got Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Well, the Blazers got their butts kicked last night by Paul George, who was just 2 points shy of a career high in points. He had one more shot, but he missed it. He scored 47 points, got 10 assists. His last assist to Russell Westbrook on a three, 12 rebounds. First player to score 40-plus and get a triple-double since Jordan. And Russell Westbrook set the NBA record for consecutive triple-doubles by getting his 10th last night.
I believe they became the first pair of teammates to each score 20-plus in a triple-double on the same night.
That is correct.
Just the ninth pair of teammates all time to post triple-doubles in the same game.
Yeah, so they went to work. The Thunder got the win. They were up big. Blazers came back in the third, but the lead was just too big, and Oklahoma City pulled away, and they beat the Blazers 120-111. And our Blazer fan insider here, Jason Quick, who's on with Primetime every Thursday at 5:30, he really put the knife in the he twisted the knife in the back for the Blazers last night with the tweet. Boy, could you imagine Paul George in a Blazer uni? Yes, Jason. Yeah. It passes the smell test. We imagined it 2 years ago. We weren't able to make that deal.
Yeah, that'll always be one of those what-if scenarios, I think, for Blazer fans of just what that could have looked like if you had pulled a deal off. Because clearly for OKC now, I mean, they're nipping at Denver's heels for the two seed in the Western Conference. You've seen a gap now wide and really between the top three teams and everybody else. It was jumbled, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now that's not really the case. They're 4 games clear of Portland, who's behind them. In the 4 seed, and now Portland's jammed in there with everybody from 4 through 7 in the Western race. So they're clearing a little room between them and everybody else, and I wouldn't be shocked if they catch Denver the way that Paul George is playing right now. And look, I understand people in this area hate OKC, and I get it. We went into the Westbrook stuff yesterday. People hate Russell Westbrook. I understand it. But there is a part of me as a sports fan, though, that does, I guess, enjoy seeing their risk pay off. I love when organizations are willing to gamble. And when they made that Paul George trade 2 summers ago, a lot of people laughed at it because where was he going to sign? Los Angeles. Why would you give up Oladipo, Sabonis, young pieces that you could build with around Westbrook who had just re-signed? Why would you do that when you're going to lose him in a year in free agency? What a dumb move. Well, you fast forward a year later, he signs the extension to stick around to play with Russell Westbrook. And as of right now, he's probably the MVP of the league, if not one of the front runners to be the MVP of the league. So they took a major swing. It could have bit him in the butt if he left in free agency. He stayed committed to them as an organization, and man, has it paid off for him.
Yeah, the other thing, too, about Paul George is he continues his MVP-like season. By the way, you mentioned on the Blazers, they are currently tied with Houston they're tied with Houston record-wise. They have the tiebreaker over them. So they're the 4 seed. They are 7.5 back of 1. So you can count that. You can kiss that goodbye. And you mentioned the Spurs. They're 2 games above the Spurs for the 7 and 3 above for the 8. And their stretch isn't easy. I'm not telling you they're going to fall to 8. That's a bit extreme. They'll probably win a game or two that maybe we don't expect them to win. They've got Golden State tomorrow, but they're kind of right where they were last year, where just the West from numbers this to that are stacked within just a couple games of them. And as I mentioned, Golden State tomorrow. But, you know, on the Paul George front, you think about his road back and how remarkable that is. I mean, like, I don't really want to focus on Portland. We know what this team is. I wasn't surprised by the outcome last night. It is what it is. But watching Paul George not only get back to what he once was in Indiana after that gruesome leg injury, but to watch him get to this level, I was talking with Buck before the show, and MVP got brought up. I think a lot of people are voting James Harden again, and he's on this amazing point streak, 30 points, by the way.
Did it again last night.
Well, he shot a three under a minute left. They were up 15, so he could get to 30 points. But he did it again. Paul George, to me, probably has the strongest case. And I really believe that, because you can say, well, he has Russell Westbrook, and Harden hasn't had Chris Paul, and I get all that. But Paul George is a huge impact two-way player. And I believe over the last month, he's averaging somewhere between 36 and 39 points per game. I mean, he is just on an insane level right now. And Oklahoma City's the 3 seed. So you look at the MVP conversations and how we value people and how do you base what is truly the most valuable. Man, I'm not just saying this because they took care of Portland and he went to work on them. Paul George probably has the strongest case to be MVP. And I don't say that to give him he's the new guy that needs the award.
Yeah, I would like to see him win one, I think, because of what you mentioned, the redemption story of him coming back from the injury.
Looking at in January, he averaged 30 a game, which is slightly up. He's averaging 28 or just shy of 29 for the year. So he's at about 30 a game in the month of January. And now, and let's see, 6 games in the month of February, he's averaging 39.7 points per game.
That's insane.
Just shy of 40. And the only loss in that stretch, by the way, for them was a 134-129 loss at Boston, which was a couple of weekends ago on the 3rd. I think that was on Super Bowl Sunday. So that's the only time they've lost this month. They're playing great. And without him, OKC is not in any conversation of being, well, keep an eye on him in the Western Conference. Russell Westbrook, we talked about it. I don't want to poo-poo having a triple-double, but he's having a down season shooting-wise, both from the field, from the three-point line, and from the free-throw line. And he's doing a lot to help them win ballgames. There's no doubt about that. But Paul George is the guy that's making them go this year. And because of that, and because of where they are, and if they continue to play this way and end up as the 2 seed in the West right behind Golden State, I'd have no problem with him winning the MVP. And I think a scary note for Portland fans, and it's always funny when we get towards the end of the year, you start to look at those playoff matchups of who you could face. You're now 0-3 this year against OKC. I believe they swept them last year. And now you're 0-3 against them this year, and they have one more game left in the season series. That's a potential first-round matchup. There's not much of a gap between you and the 6th seed right now and you potentially in the 7th seed, depending on how the rest of this road trip goes. You could find yourself with a bad road trip in the 7th seed in the Western Conference or in the 6th seed, yeah. And you would look at maybe playing OKC in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to go league MVP, I would probably go Giannis, Paul George, James Harden. That would be my preference.
I'd be okay with that.
I mean, who had Milwaukee pegged with best record in the NBA?
Nobody.
So I give a lot of credit to what Giannis is doing. I know he doesn't go out there and score 40 a game like Harden. Harden's getting it. I mean, Harden has been amazing this year. I'm not trying to take anything away. I just think you have two other players that have elevated their games and elevated their teams. And, you know, last night not only sucked because Paul George roasted you and you lost again, I thought last night really hurt for the anti-trade CJ crowd. The listeners out there, the people who read message boards or follow the blogs, the crowd that truly doesn't believe or didn't think a couple years ago you should ever trade CJ for somebody like that and take a risk, last night really hurt you because CJ was god-awful.
He was bad in Dallas,
too. He was borderline unplayable in that game last night. He didn't share the ball. He didn't look to share the ball. He took bad shot after bad shot. He plays no defense. Meanwhile, a guy that you maybe could have included in the trade to go get in Paul George, well, he's healthy now, and he's having a hell of a turnaround season.
Well, at least you saw it because Dame had an atrocious first half, and then he got caught on fire in
the
third quarter.
I'm never worried about Dame having a slow start.
No, because he'll find his way into it. And the one point, it's going to get probably annoying, but I'm going to continue to bring it up after every single game because for the last month, it feels like it's been true. I'm continuing to love Jake Layman in the way he's playing. He's a source of energy. He's shooting at a great clip. He hustles all over the place. He had 4 blocks last night, scored 17 points, only guy in double figures off the bench. Love what he continues to bring. And I'm going to continue to ask the question every day after a game, why is Mo Harkless still getting minutes?
You'll never get a real answer.
It doesn't make any sense. He's not bringing anything to this team. He's not shooting it. He's not playing great defense. Someone explain to me why he's still getting 20-plus minutes a game.
Yeah, Portland falls to Oklahoma City last night. All right, we got 3 stops to make on the Daily Ticker. We'll do it next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:33 here on The Fan, time for the Daily Ticker. We got 3 stops to make, so we got to go in and out, and we'll start with the first one in studio. Patrick Harris is joining us.
Hello, my friends.
Yeah, Beers on Us podcast with Mike Lynch. Follow, subscribe, download, all those fun things. And then the Hot Corner, Harrison Lynch, the baseball show here on 1080 The Fan. I wanted to bring you in because you are in the beer craft industry.
This is true.
And big news came out. Bridgeport Brewing is going to cease brewing operations.
It's a pretty crazy thing. Mike and I, if you listen to last week's podcast, we talked about Burnside Brewing has also closed. We also have referenced in the past Royale's struggles and Widmer shutting down their restaurant, turning it into a tap room, and then
what
shutting down the tap room.
What is going on?
There's too many breweries, aren't there?
Well, it's funny. Like, people ask me all the time, is this town saturated? Like, is the beer industry saturated? And I always say no, because even though there are 90-plus breweries in the greater Portland area, only maybe, I say 10, Mike pushes me to 20, are worth a damn. So you got all these breweries that survive because they reside in a neighborhood that has no other option. So people walk down the street. It's like a cool Portland thing to go to a brewery. Yep. You bring your dog, you bring your kids, you have some pints, you eat a burger. It's like the cool atmosphere thing. So a lot of breweries survive because of that. But at the end of the day, what we're seeing in this town, at least what I'm noticing, and this is what we mentioned, we were talking about Burnside, is if you are not, people's palates are starting to evolve. If you're not making good beer, and I'm not bashing on Burnside or Bridgeport or anything like that. I'm just saying if
you're, they're not making beer anymore, so it's okay if you're being honest about something like this.
If your beer is not quality, people will stop buying it. And when people stop buying it, you go under. I have been to that Bridgeport location many times. It's a really cool spot. The food is good. They did an attempt to kind of rebrand themselves, so they've got new logos, new images. And then they also brought in a pilot system to make small batch beers to kind of showcase, hey, it's not all just Hop Czar. It's not all just Tiny Horse Pilsner. Like, we can do some really cool small stuff to show you that we still know what we're doing. And somehow that didn't do it.
So you're not worried? The future's still bright for the brew scene here in Portland?
The future is still bright because this beer scene is still making great beer. I think what we're going to start seeing is that those that aren't making good beer will go by the wayside.
All right. You're going to talk about this on the Beers on Us podcast?
Yeah, Mike and I are actually going to record it after this.
All right.
And we'll talk about it. I mean, we have another subject that we're going to put. It will be brought up. I mean, it's big news. Bridgeport is what we call an OG. Yeah. I say that there are, you know, a handful of OGs. It's Widmer, the McMiniman brothers, Bridgeport, Full Sail, and Deschutes. And those are kind of the OGs. And one no longer has a place that you can get their beer unless it's a dive bar with dirty lines. And one just went under today.
Yeah. Patrick Harris, follow the podcast Beers on Us, him and Mike Lynch, and then the Hot Corner here on 1080 The Fan, talking all things baseball. Thanks so much for joining us, Patrick.
Not a problem, my friend.
All right, we move on to the Daily Ticker now, and we go to New York to talk with Ken Davidoff, New York Post baseball columnist. We want to continue to talk about this topic until something happens.
Because nothing has happened.
Nothing is happening in Major League Baseball. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, nobody's been signed yet to our knowledge.
Well, hey, easy. Gerardo Parra just signed with the Giants today, okay?
Well, Ken joins us now on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Ken, thanks for taking some time for us here in Portland. When are these big name players going to sign? When is everybody else going to sign? It's starting to upset guys like Justin Verlander.
I'm sorry, what about Justin Verlander?
Oh, I was just saying it's starting to upset players, free agencies, not really moving Major League Baseball. When do you expect some more movement?
I mean, in the next couple of weeks. I mean, I would think by March 1st, Harper and Machado will be signed, and then you'll see some of the other big names, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, Marwin Gonzalez signed in a similar time span.
How much does this set back certain teams and players? The fact that pitchers and catchers reporting for almost everybody yesterday or today, and full rosters are reporting by the end of the week. If you got guys signing in March, missing the first couple of weeks of spring training, does that set them back at all team-wise or player-wise?
I think it does, yeah. I mean, if you look what happened last year, it was even worse. Even more big names were unsigned at this juncture. And many of those guys wound up having subpar seasons for them. I think one notable exception would be the Red Sox, J.D. Martinez, but guys like Jake Arrieta and Mike Moustakas and Alex Cobb really struggled during the season.
Ken Davidoff, our guest, New York Post baseball columnist. There was a report that Manny Machado got a $220 million deal from the Yankees. Are we to believe that's true? And then if so, kind of weird that he wouldn't sign that, right?
It's not true.
Not true at all. Okay.
Nope.
You expect Bryce Harper to go where?
Great question. I will, back in like November 1st-ish, I said that he would go to the Cardinal, so I will wear that, even though it's not looking very like.
Oh, there we go. I like that hot take, Ken. Hey, you know, got a lot of Cardinal talk out there for Bryce Harper. Ken, thanks so much for joining us here in Portland, man. We'll catch up with you once the season gets going.
Okay.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Ken Davidoff, New York Post baseball columnist. We move on now in the Daily Ticker. There's a rumor out there. The Detroit Lions are on the clock for the NFL draft, and there's a rumor that Matthew Stafford could be on the trade block for the Detroit Lions. So we talk with beat writer Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press. He joins us now on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Is the Stafford era over in Detroit, Dave?
No, I think this is a much ado about nothing. I mean, look, the Lions have, you know, they came out pretty forcefully after the season, said they're with Stafford. You know, Pop, the comments yesterday about the Lions being willing to draft somebody with a quarterback, any position with the eighth overall pick, that was just Bob answering a fan's question. I wouldn't read too much into it. I think he was just sort of keeping all the options on the table in case a quarterback happens to be there and maybe he needs to drum up some trade interest for one of those teams picking behind him.
Hmm. Would that be a smart move in your mind? I mean, the Stafford era and just how it's gone and he is getting up there in age. Would that be a smart move for them to take a quarterback at number eight?
I think they got bigger holes and bigger problems in quarterback. I mean, I certainly understand that, you know, Stafford's 31, so he's, you know, he's at the end of the prime of his career, maybe. I mean, still a young guy by quarterback standards, but, you know, kind of is who he is at this stage of his career entering year 11. And, you know, they haven't won anything with him. I certainly understand the desire to move away from that. But, look, Matt Patricia, Bob Quinn, you know, Matthew Stafford even, I mean, their contracts all align. They're sort of joined at the hip right now. I don't think the Lions have time with this current regime to go through a rebuild. I think they need to win now. If they don't, I think they all could be on the chopping block next year.
You know, Dave, there's always a lot of talk around the country on the Detroit Lions about the way the organization has been run, their lack of playoff success, superstars retiring maybe a couple years before they should. How is it different now in your eyes, if at all, with Patricia, Quinn, just maybe the direction of the organization and leadership right now versus where it was a few years ago?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know that it's much different. I mean, certainly it's new faces and, you know, these guys came from championship pedigrees and, you know, I understand that. But look, I mean, Jim Schwartz coached under, you know, Bill Belichick once upon a time and, you know, Martin Mayhew won a ring when he was a player. So it's not like they haven't, you know, tried some of these methods before. It's just, look, the Lions have not had a whole lot of success. Last year was a major disappointment. You know, players didn't fully buy into Matt Patricia early on. I think that, you know, sort of helped grease the skids for the bad season that they had. And this is going to be a big year. They need to get things right this year. Otherwise, like I said, you know, they all could be in trouble.
Well, and looking at that, too, for next season, how daunting is it to just see the teams around you in the division? I mean, Chicago in the year that they had, right. Minnesota, I know they didn't make the playoffs, but still a ton of talent there. And then Aaron Rodgers speaks for himself. How daunting is that division next year?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, right? I mean, look, New England, I mean, great franchise, model franchise, but, you know, Miami, the Jets, the Bills, those teams aren't exactly, you know, pushing for winning the division over there. Here in the NFC North, you got, I mean, every team but the Lions is, you know, it seems like wins it every other year or so because the Bears, obviously one of the best defenses in the NFL. You'd never rule out Aaron Rodgers. We'll see what happens with the Vikings this offseason. They've got some moves they got to make, but, you know, they've got a really good defense as well. So the Lions, I mean, at least the way things stand here in mid-February, they look like number four out of a 14 division.
Yeah, Dave Burkett, Detroit Free Press, joining us. No, he says, on Matthew Stafford traded from the Detroit Lions. No on the quarterback at number eight. We'll see what they do in the NFL draft. Dave, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again.
All right. There we go. Dave Burkett, Detroit Free Press. Ken Davidoff, New York Post. Do we need to talk about that one?
He seemed really thrilled to talk baseball with us. He was like engaged as baseball fans are, considering that there's over 100 free agents who haven't signed anywhere yet.
I've never heard anything like that in my life. Hey, thanks for joining. Okay.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Big gulps, huh?
When I called him today to hop on the show, I said, hey, Ken, love to get you on. Hey. Talk Harper, Machado, no lack of free agency movement. He goes, yeah, I'd love to talk about that. Can't wait to talk. And then I got him on, and he didn't even hear the first question. I thought, here we go. Rip roaring start.
Oh, the Yankees reportedly offered Manny Machado $220 million. Is that
not true?
Not true.
Okay. All right.
To the next question.
You know when I really knew we were in trouble was when he chose the Cardinals?
For Bryce Harper.
Has anybody speculated the Cardinals?
No. We've heard nothing. No. Absolutely nothing.
No, there's been nothing.
The only latest today on Harper was Heyman reported he doesn't want a short-term deal, which probably means he's going to sign a short-term deal now. That was the only report we've seen today.
Okay.
That was strange.
Hey,
I'm not going to lie.
That's what you get with the Daily Ticker, Harris. That's
right.
What you get.
All right. Good stuff. I'm glad to have not have been strange for you.
Thank you for hopping in and talking the beer scene, man. That was big news from Bridgeport this morning. All right. We got a lot more to get to. Ryan Wilson, CBS draft expert, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. It's 12:44. You're listening to Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 12:49 here on the Sports Leader of Portland, 1080 The Fan. We've got Ryan Wilson, CBS draft expert, put out his latest mock draft. He'll join us at 1 o'clock.
You see, the Combine's going to air for 2 hours on ABC.
And it's going to be NBA Finals ratings, I know it.
Oh, they're going to beat they'll beat the World Series and NBA Finals probably combined for something like that.
I think we mentally, as a show, we need to get ready for this, Dirt, because Football Bro's going to be out puffing the chest again.
They will. The ratings will be there. It'll back it all up on ABC for 2 hours. Watch dudes run around in spandex.
We care more about them bench pressing than your stupid stick ball or bouncy ball games. Okay, great. Thanks.
Well, I am a little bummed out as a baseball guy. It's just weird, man. It sucks. You have 100 free agents, like really quality baseball players that have not signed. And there's a chance that they don't sign until like a couple of weeks before the season starts.
That's insane.
Teams have reported. Pitchers and catchers reported today. Players report on Friday.
Yeah.
Guys are just hanging out on their own, doing their own. Remember last year, I think they had there was like an unsigned players free agent camp that opened up, or a spring training camp that opened up.
Yeah.
Because so many of them didn't have a team. They just like all congregated to one field and hit ground balls and took some BPs. Like, what is going on here, man?
It is one of the bigger stories in sports that does not get talked about enough. That's for sure. I saw this headline earlier today, and I thought it would be important to bring it back up because we mentioned, remember Portland, Oregon Lottery making that football app?
Yes, for next football season.
Well, I continue to follow the sports betting scene as the degenerate here, and I'm always interested to see how it's going. You know, if it's bad, I'll tell you. If it's bad, if it's going great, I'll tell you it's great, etc. This one came in from the American Gaming Association. They just tweeted this out about 20 minutes ago or so. Maryland's six casinos brought in $137 million in revenue this January, a 7% increase from last year. That supports state funding. That amounts to $41.5 million for the Maryland Education Trust.
It's a lot of cash.
I feel like the PPS could really use $41.5 million.
That is a lot of cash right there.
Yeah.
So you're telling me it's already working, huh? People like legally gambling.
And then in Seattle, Jeff Baker, who spells his name Geoff, he wrote a column for the Seattle Times, and it's a proposed bill that would legalize sports gambling in Washington State's tribal casinos. So like our fine friends up the road at the A-Lin-A.
Hanging out at A-Lin-A, go get your gamble on up there.
If they can get this through, and they can get, I need to really read the whole article because I've only started it. But if they can somehow, if this can go into effect and start soon, boy, the traffic going into that place is going to pick up substantially.
I'd be curious.
It's already pretty busy.
Right. It already is crowded. And it is a great spot.
It is.
I would be curious if this is their only step or the first step, I think is the question I have about Washington. And it's really the same thing with Oregon. I mean, you're looking at having an app next year through the Oregon Lottery that you can, you know, place football bets and do that stuff with. Is that the first step, or is that basically what it's going to look like in this state? Because this is exciting, I think, for Washington folk because they have a tougher time gambling as is. Remember, we talked about that when the app stuff came out, that you would have to have like an Oregon address, and if your cards are located in Washington, would you be able to do it? There's a lot of hurdles you got to jump through. So if you're able to just go to A-Lin-A and place some bets, I think it's a big step. But how many people are it takes away the convenience factor, I think. And that's something I think everybody wants. If you want to gamble, you want it to be a convenient factor. So, yes, it would be cool if A-Lin-A had a sports book, and maybe every once in a while I would grab some buddies and we'd go up there on like a Sunday and watch NFL games and throw some money, or going for the tournament would be a lot of fun, right? You'd think of the sporting events that you could have a great time with. But you're not going to go up there on a regular basis. to watch sports at a sports book. I think it's all about convenience if you really want it to work in your state. So I think it's a cool step for Washington to have it at the casinos, but I would hope that there's more to follow up, just like I hope that's the case in Oregon.
Yeah, the bill states that limiting the sports gaming to within tribal facilities follows the state's long-held policy of outlawing gambling, quote, except where carefully and specifically authorized and regulated, end quote. So this would just be for the tribal casinos, as we mentioned. Washington, I remember reading about this when it the whole when everything got overturned and everything started changing. Washington was one of those states that was firmly in the no, we're not doing
not
it.
Not gonna happen.
Whereas like Oregon and Montana were basically sitting on the fence, like, hey, we have the ability to do this, we're okay doing it. So that would be a big step for people in the Vancouver area, Kelso, Camas, etc. But as for like the state as a whole, having other casinos or sports books popping up, I still think it's going to be a long time before you get that in Oregon and Portland. It doesn't look like that's coming anytime soon to Washington outside of going to the tribal casinos.
Yeah, this is a topic that continues to become more mainstream. There's a documentary coming out on Showtime, and we're going to effort to get the director on. It's more of a, I guess, day-to-day topic, if you will. You're bringing it out of the darkness and into the light. A lot of people already do it. They're just doing it illegally. And I think these are all good steps to make sure that some of that money the state can capitalize on.
Only 11 states have yet to introduce any new sports betting legislation.
We're going to get there.
Even Washington is willing to talk about this. New York was a lot like Washington as well. They have quickly changed their tune.
Well, and think about what the gambling industry looked like 3 or 4 years ago, and then envision what it's going to look like 3 or 4 years from now.
Right.
Because we're not that far removed from the Supreme Court decision, and that's how much action's already taken place. And we even have Swigard's trying to come up and concoct a segment for the show to close out the show every day.
And he really wants to do a betting segment.
He wants
every
a betting
day.
Segment to close out the show. And he threw out the name of it potentially is white meat, which is like a gambling term.
When did he throw that? Where was I?
You weren't in the studio yet. We were having a conversation about names.
You guys need to look at your email.
And I know I just saw you sent the email. And white meat to me, I was like, ooh, that's not bad.
Now, let me ask you though.
Okay.
I'm playing devil's advocate as I always do on ideas because I think it's important. Does having a daily segment at the end of the show take anything away from Sprague and Line on Friday?
No, I don't think so.
So you would be doing a half hour of sports bets?
On Friday? Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't, I guess you wouldn't have to do it on Friday if we do bets during the year.
So doing it Monday through Thursday would not take anything away from Sprague and Line?
No, the unique part about Sprague and Line is making fun of you and reading fake sponsors. To which we already had a listener coming up with a fake sponsor from the baseball guest for Friday. He's thinking
on
ahead.
Ken Davidoff?
He's already thinking ahead for a fake sponsor on Friday. That's the unique nature of Spraying the Line. This would be, I think Swigard's envisioning a more serious gambling segment where it's a, like kind of lock of the night kind of thing. Like last night, you could have gone UNC Virginia. You could have gone OKC Portland. There's things to bet on every night if you really want to go down that rabbit hole.
Should we give Ken Davidoff another chance at some point? Or
no, I'm going to bet no on that one, Bob.
No?
I'm going to take the no on that.
You just think that's kind of who he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Duly noted. All right, we got a lot to get to in the second hour. We're going to kick it off with Ryan Wilson. He is the CBS draft writer. He just put out his latest piece at CBSSports.com. He's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft, how it's looking right now, Kyler Murray, all of that. Ryan Wilson, next hour, 2 Dirt and Sprague. On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.